City Current, produced by Dakota Media Access. In-depth discussion with Bismarck and Mandan city officials. Watch on Government Access Channel 602 HD or listen on KDAC 102.5 FM. Always local, always current.
Welcome to City Current. City Current's a weekly show that we do here at Dakota Media Access. We recap the activity of the Bismarck and Mandan City Commission meetings and some other activities that are going on in the community. And today is a Mandan City Current, which means Jim Neubauer is here along with me,
yes.
Mary Van Sickle, and we are here on Wednesday, October 3rd.
Wednesday, October 3rd, and the temperatures are a little cool out, but we'll survive.
Fall. Yes. October, we know it's coming. So not a really long meeting last night, but there were a few items we wanted to pick out and talk about. One of them was under bids and the front end of your agenda every other week.
Yes.
Talk about bids. And what happened last night was the city committed to a vendor in the community that would help city crews in the event of a snow event, right. A major snow event.
We, a couple of years ago, we had a little bit of snow on the ground. We had what we called a snow committee was put together to give us some ideas on what we're doing well and what we can make improvements on. One of the ideas that came out of there is that we should be putting our snow removal at times out for bid so that we know what our costs will be going into the snow season. And these are costs that when we need to haul snow from the downtown areas, we need extra trucks, we might need extra manpower and things like that. So we put that out for bids in August and September.
Yeah.
We get those bids back so that we kind of know going in what we can expect charges to be. You know, it's X amount of dollars for a dump truck, it's X amount of dollars for an operator and things of that nature.
Kind of a little safety net and gives up, you know, some security when those big events do come.
Right. The last thing we want to do is all of a sudden we get 25 inches of snow and we're calling around the trucking companies and they're, you know, we have never experienced this where they've gouged us for prices and we're very happy with that. But we thought let's put them on notice to say, if we need you, here's what the cost is going to
right.
be.
Right. You're just being proactive. Yep. Because, you know, for a city to budget for major snow events and have all that equipment and people power just sitting there waiting for those big events would be very, very costly.
Very expensive and challenging to do. Mm-hmm. And like I said, our contractors that we have worked with in the past have been extremely good to work with. And like I said, this isn't meant as someone's been gouging us on prices. Because we do enough calling around and checking at that time to make sure that what we're being charged is in the market. And here's what it costs for a dump truck. Here's what it costs for an operator. Here's what it costs for a front end loader and things like that. So we know going in what to expect. And you know, today's temperature, we hate to talk about snow, but we know it's going to come.
And well, the forecast is saying that possibly even today there might be some. And I think that the other thing we'll be talking about, I'm sure, in future programs with you is that there's some deadlines coming up that people need to move vehicles off the street and ready for snowfalls.
We need your campers and your boats and your jet skis and all those things off the streets as
start
of October
planning.
15th. I'm not sure what the date is exactly, but
that close.
I think those notes have gone out in our Mandan Messenger.
Okay.
And so please pay attention to that. And also when there are times when the snowplow is coming by your house, we like you to get your vehicles off the street as much as possible so that makes our job more efficient and makes your job a lot better because no one likes to shovel out their car after being plowed in by a snowplow.
Let's just not talk about snow anymore.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
We'll leave that one all alone.
Under new business last night, interesting presentation by your city planner, John Van Dyke, and also by Brian Ritter from the Chamber, talked about a joint project that they've been working on together, and that was developing some land development processes and actually putting them together as flow charts.
This was started about a year ago, and normally we'll work with the Bismarck Mandan Development Association on what are the projects that we want to see come to fruition the next year. And BMDA and also our city planner at the time, Bob Decker, had been working on this flowchart because sometimes every development is a little different. And it's very difficult to explain how why is one different than another? Because there's different land uses, and then one might be zoned already for residential, it might be zoned for agricultural. All these things need to change and factor in. So John has been working with Brian and also our other city staff on can we put a couple flow charts together that really walk a layperson through the process.
Mm-hmm.
Someone can read our ordinances and go, okay, what does that mean? And like I said, John's done a great job of trying to simplify this, explaining, you know, it's not someone comes in with an idea on a piece of land and 1 week later they can start moving dirt.
Right.
There are many steps that need to occur along the road.
We have on our screen for our viewers, one of the flow charts. This one has to do with zoning ordinance and text amendments.
Yep.
So very interesting. I mean, look at this. It is a little daunting. It seems complicated, but it should show you, it demonstrates the path that a project will take. A general path.
Mm-hmm. And we're sure that these will need to be tweaked a little bit along the way as mm-hmm. things come up. But in general, these are some of the most common scenarios that we run into. And so between a developer and the city, it's who does what and mm-hmm. when do those things happen? And here's a general timeline. And even when we may use this when we go to city commission, as far as you are here in the process to explain, you know, there are 25 different steps that need to occur before, you know, shovels can go in the ground on a project. Here are those 25 steps and here's where we're at right now. So great job by John and Justin and Brian on all of our staff and BMDA for helping us with this. I know that BMDA has shot this out last night to their membership mm-hmm. saying, you know, take a look.
Builders and developers all know.
This should help you out.
Yeah.
And,
well, it's got to be a little, there's probably a little reluctancy mm-hmm. On the part of the city to even put this on paper because, again, every project is so different.
Yep, everything is a little different. That's why these are the general guidelines. I mean, we always refer back to our municipal code of ordinances to make sure that those steps are being followed. But that's where these flowcharts have been developed from. And it's a lot easier than reading code.
A general tool.
I don't necessarily like to read code a lot. But these certainly, we hope, go a long way to fix those
things. It's a great resource. And as you say, it will probably need tweaking. And it'll be one of those documents that's fairly fluid.
Yeah.
As changes are made to ordinances, this will also change as well.
And I know that we had talked with John about making sure that we put in there who's responsible for doing what. Mm. So is you bring in a plat to the city, or is it the city responsible for doing the public notification, getting it to the Mandan News and things like that? So like I said, we've tried to include all of those things in here so we don't get in a situation where someone says, well, I thought you were going to do this. I didn't know it was my responsibility. And we hope to clarify those things.
Yeah, it's a good tool. And again, this has been distributed to most of the builders and developers in the community, but I would assume it's also on your website.
Also on our website, mm-hmm. so we can find it there.
Okay. Sounds good. Another project that came forward last night was, and this has been something in the works for a while, mm-hmm. is a master plan for the lift station study. One of our favorite topics, talking about sewage.
Sewage and planning go hand in hand. But
it's important.
We know that one of the things that's expected from our residents is that you turn the water on, comes on, and it's clean, and it's drinkable, and it's safe.
Yes.
And when you get rid of that water, that also has a place to go.
It goes down the drain.
So part of our process over the last year has been working with Apex Engineering to do a master plan mm-hmm. for sewage collection and then treatment. We've got the treatment side. But sometimes you need to get it there.
Mm-hmm.
And we know we have a master lift station that is in need of some TLC. And this sets the stage for those things.
It's a pretty extensive study, and it is intended to be a long-term study, that this is not going to happen overnight. It's going to phase in over time.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that we needed to have a master plan so we know where we're going in the next 25 years. And like I said, not all the things in this plan will occur within the next year or 2 years. But when we reconstruct roadways, for example, we know that Memorial Highway is going to be redone. Timeline will vary. Not sure exactly what that is today. We know that there is a need for a sewer pipe underneath that roadway.
Sure.
And how and where is that going to go? And how does it look? And what size is it? And we know that we have a couple lines going out to our wastewater treatment plant from our master lift. that are in need of repair. Those are, you know, 50, 60 year old pipe. What's the best way to do that? What's the best route to take? And we've got lift stations along the way. So I think the alternative, I think, was 1A last night that was kind of selected as this is our preferred alternative. You know, it may eliminate a couple of lift stations along the way so that we can, the more sewage we can get by gravity to our wastewater plant, the better off we all are.
Yeah.
So
gravity makes sense.
Yes.
So this will serve.
It flows downhill.
I almost said it, Jim, but I'll let you.
You're welcome.
So this will serve now, again, as the plan, a master plan for lift station and wastewater in Mandan for quite some time. This will what the city will follow, but also follow your budgeting process. Yep. We'll also tie up with this as
one of the big pieces we look at. We've got a master plan, and how do we implement that? You know, most master plans get set out for, you know, 10 or 20 years, and you start picking things off of that plan as you go. Projects may move from 1 year to another year to another year, depending on your specific needs at that time. But in overall, we've got a game plan.
Yeah.
And that's what this does.
A blueprint to follow.
Yep. We talked earlier about, I think we had a 1977 water distribution plan that told us where we thought reservoirs would go and water towers. And we updated that in 2007, 30 years later. But we ended up putting a water reservoir in the exact same spot that that 30-year-old plan said it should go.
Wow.
Which, you know, they're useful and they're used. They don't just get done and sit on a shelf.
Yeah.
So.
Good deal. Well, we'll keep our eye on that one too. Other new business last night, really a nice piece of news, and that was for the Mandan Police Department. Right. They had budgeted for a canine for next year, and that wasn't able to be carried in to 2019.
Correct.
But a private citizen came forward with a donation to help that happen.
Right. And during our budget discussions, things get added and things get taken out. And depending on what the priorities are, one of the things that we've talked about is having a canine or a dog and as being a priority. You know, Police Chief Ziegler was having just a conversation with Bob Cooper, and turned out Bob said, well, I would like to help. How can I help? Mm-hmm. And in turn made a monetary donation to the police department.
Nice.
And so we looked then at how can we take one of our existing positions, because sometimes you'll create a new position, which will be your canine officer position. What we did is we said, we're going to take one of our existing folks, turn them into a canine officer, and then we need about $25,000, which will pay for the cost of the dog, and you need to equip a vehicle. You need veterinary bills, you need dog food,
sure.
You need training and things like that. So Bob made a donation to us. We had another anonymous donor, and then we looked at our budget for 2018 and said, you know, we've got some savings in some unfilled positions,
right.
And let's use some of that money. So you transfer it from one line item to another line item. So our overall budget did not increase for 2018 and 2019, but we now have, they will start surfing for one. I think they'll do an application process from within the department to find out who would like to be, who's interested
and
in being a canine officer.
And that'll determine who is the handler for the...
Yep. So you pick the handler, and then you start looking for the proper dog, and then those two get trained together.
And that'll happen next year.
That'll more than likely it'll be a 2019 project. But like I said, the generosity is incredible. And we're awful happy that Mr. Cooper and also anonymous donor came forward with some money, and and I think Bob's words were, if I'll donate this amount, if you can find the rest, we found the rest, we'll make this happen, and it'll be good for everyone.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to the announcement of the new officer coming into next year.
Yep. Whoever gets selected as a canine officer, and then we will get the canine and bring them into the commission for an introduction.
All right.
And away we go.
We'll look forward to that.
Yes.
Some old business, resolutions and ordinances. First consideration for a new beer and wine license.
Yes.
Was talked about at a previous meeting. We've talked about it, that action. And last night it would move forward.
Right. We had an entrepreneur come in and ask about wanting to open. First, it was a wine bar only. We don't really have a liquor license classification to do wine only. And then they came back and said, well, if I'm with someone who maybe doesn't like wine, maybe they want to have a beer.
Right.
And all right, well, let's look at a wine and beer only on sale application. And so last night we presented a ordinance change addition mm-hmm. to the board. They approved it and now had very good discussion on what the appropriate initial license fee would be and then an annual renewal.
Mm-hmm.
And those things for a second reading will come back in the next meeting in October and also discussion on a resolution establishing
what just moved forward last night was yes, we want to make this happen.
Yep.
Next meeting, we'll determine details.
Next meeting, we'll determine. We had proposed some suggested licensing fee and annual renewals based on research that we had done from other cities across North Dakota and the surrounding area, saying, here's what we think would be fair. And so we'll present a resolution establishing.
It was a very interesting discussion. I thought it brought out some really good points about protecting existing license holders in the community is really important because they've made considerable investments. How does a new license affect that, if at all?
Trying to avoid that. We've got several different classes of liquor licenses, some on sale, some off sale, some combination, some beer only, and things like that.
Yeah.
And we want to make sure that people who have invested heavily in town are, that investment when they bought that license at the time paid X amount of dollars, and if you allow just a wine and beer, am I cutting into existing businesses or
don't
not?
It's
a matter of, sometimes there might be a way for everyone to work together
and
establishing some reasonable fees.
Well, it's one of those unintended consequences that can happen without thought giving to some of these details.
Yep, so we're trying to put all that together.
Right.
And like I said, our goal is to, we have... mainly looking at the downtown area for this these types of establishments, and it seems to be more about the experience that people want in an entertainment district.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to come down and have a glass of wine and sample different wines, you'd be able to do this in a wine or beer only establishment, and that's what's being looked at.
Yeah. Well, we'll look forward to that coming up at the next meeting. Other business talked about last night. The mayor brought up a Metropolitan Planning Organization. The MPO is having they're working on a transportation plan, an overall transportation plan called Arrive 2045.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, it's a big... It'll be the master plan for transportation projects as they move forward in it. It's not just Mandan. It's Mandan, Bismarck, Lincoln. The whole area, really. The counties, I believe, are also
our
involved.
Our Metropolitan Planning Organization includes Bismarck, Mandan, Lincoln, Morton County, Burley County.
Mm-hmm.
And this, again, it's looking at setting the stage for the next 25 years. Because if we're close to 2020 now, Arrive 2045, in the big scheme of things, is a ways away. But we always need to make sure that we are planning for the future of our communities and encourage public's input and participation in this process. You may think, well, that's 25 years from now.
Mm.
But we like to say, well, look at where we were in 1990 or 1995, 25 years till today. A lot of changes in this community that have gone on.
Absolutely. And this plan will take us into 2045. I mean, that's... It starts as soon as it's adopted. It will serve as the blueprint for transportation projects. And the reason it was on your agenda last night is Mayor Helbling wanted to make sure people knew about the public meeting. The first public meeting coming up is October 10th.
Public meeting in Mandan on October 10th between 6 o'clock and 8 o'clock at Mandan City Hall.
Okay.
And again, we encourage, this is an information gathering stage, so I don't think anyone's come out and saying, here's the final plan, here's what it's going to look like.
Right.
We are just starting that process now.
Okay. Getting feedback from the community on what they put together so far.
Yep. So when the public's invited, show up. You can go to their website, arrive2045.com, and you can read more about this. And there are different days and different places for these public input meetings. And just because you can't make October 10th in Mandan, maybe you can make the one in Bismarck or Morton County or Burley County, but we encourage you to participate either in person or I believe you can submit comments via the website.
And we do have the website on our screen right now too, arrive2045.com. It's easy to find. You can get in there and see what they've done so far with the project. There's documents in there, maps, the schedule of public input meetings. So it's not just the one that's happening on October 10th. There are other opportunities to get involved. And you can comment online here as well and contact and connect with the planners that are working on this. This is really, really important. I think that, you know, we watch a lot of public meetings mm-hmm. here, and we see a lot of planning and zoning discussions and different projects happening, especially in the outer areas in the ETA around the community. And there's always a lot of comments, it seems, about people who didn't seem to be aware mm-hmm. of a project that's coming their way. And this is your opportunity, if for no other reason, just to check what's being proposed in your area.
Yep.
I mean, granted, we all want a bigger picture and do what's best for the community, but look at what's happening, whether you live within the city or outside of this in the ETA or out in the county area. Take a look at what they've put together so far. Don't be surprised in 5 years when something comes in front of you and it affects your property. This is intended to inform you now and take a look at it and comment on that.
Yeah, gather. Yeah. And again, we are in the information gathering stage mm-hmm. right now. So this is the time to come in and say, and like I said, there's a lot of us that can look at a map and say, well, this would make sense here, here, here. Mm-hmm. But the folks that live in that area are the ones that know the best mm-hmm. what's going on.
Absolutely.
And what they think will work well and what won't. Like I said, we can look at maps all till the day is long,
absolutely.
But it's those folks that actually live and, you know, they see that area or those specific areas day in and day out and probably know a heck of a lot more than we do.
Well, and just my own personal story, a few years ago, I was looking on the a map for the planning department in Burley County, mm-hmm. a city of Bismarck, and noticed that something in the area where I live was off as far as a road designation. Okay. And I talked to the planners and they said, you know what, you're right. This was not recorded the right way. We need to make a change. So, yeah. you know, things like that can happen. So check what's going yeah. on, again, in your whole community, but really look in your backyard, look around you and see what's happening and help the planners do a better job.
Right. And that's the ultimate goal is to obtain the public input and help us do the best job that we possibly can and take into account. You may not always
right.
agree with
right.
what happens,
oh, absolutely.
But we want to provide those opportunities for input. Yeah. And like I said, things change all the time.
Yeah.
We know that technology is growing by leaps and bounds. And we talked earlier about, you know, 2045, what is the state of vehicle traffic going to be in 20 years from now? Are we going to be flying in the
yeah.
George Jetson mobile around town
yeah.
and you'll have less cars? There's a lot of folks that are, you know, that is, you know, why are you
committed
building these
that.
Super highways
Absolutely.
Now when
yeah.
you won't need them in 20
right.
years? So a lot of this is let's make sure we plan smart
yeah.
and we spend our resources wisely.
Absolutely. A couple other announcements last night. Mandan Airport is having their annual event, Props mm-hmm. and Hops. It is a ticketed event.
Ticket event. I think tickets are $25 each.
Yeah. And this is happening actually tomorrow night. And we are recording this program on Wednesday, October yeah. 3rd. So just keep that in mind. It does replay yeah. And it will replay after Props and Hops actually happen. So
yep.
it's Thursday the
October
4th.
4th.
And, okay.
We are out at the Mandan Airport. And it also, the proceeds from this event are going to Jim Lawler, the Mandan Airport manager mm-hmm. for many, many, many years. I'm not sure how many Jim has out there other than
yeah.
a lot of. And Jim is fighting a battle with cancer right now, and we want to be able to support him. And this is a real nice thing that this event has gone on for a few years, and this year they're donating the proceeds to
nice.
Jim to help defray some medical expenses. That
so go out there so. And support the airport, Jim Lawler, their
right.
Manager, and see some airplanes.
See some airplanes.
And by the title, I would assume there's some beer out there.
Hops and or props and hops. Make sure I get that right. Would indicate that there will be both props and hops, and I think it should be a good time.
Don't think it's much of a reach to say that.
No.
Fire department is having their annual open house, and that's next
Correct.
Tuesday night, October 9th.
Tuesday, October 9th, the parade. There's always an annual fire. It is Fire Prevention Month in October, or yes, we're in October now. The parade starts at 6:30 p.m.
And that'll be way up northwest
area. Yep, starts
area.
At the Mandan Rural Fire Department up in the northwest part of town by
okay.
Cloverdale Foods. We'll roll down Old Red Trail, come down Sunset Drive, 6th Avenue, hit Main Street, and then move on over to the Mandan Fire Department on Collins.
It'll be the nice old
and First
Fire Department building downtown. That's
yep.
so So nice.
Great event. It's always building. Well attended. Yeah. You know, you can bring your kids.
Hot dogs.
Even if you don't have kids, you yourself can go down there and take a look at the fire department, the equipment, the highway patrol. Meet the firefighters. It's just a good public event to show, here's what we do. Here's the equipment we have.
Good.
It's fun to, firemen are always the heroes in the community because they're coming to save the day.
Absolutely.
And I know Chief will really like me for saying that. but it's just a good community event. And like I said, between Mandan Police Department will be there, Highway Patrol, Morton County Sheriff, SWAT team.
Yeah, we depend on all of them.
Bismarck. So it's a lot of
fun. First responders in the area. So come down and have fun at the fire department's open house. Couple other quick announcements. Mm-hmm. We've talked in the last few times we've been together about the business pitch challenge.
Yes.
And that was for a new business idea. The deadline has passed.
Yep.
And you received...
I think we have 10, maybe 11 total applications for this process, which is pretty good.
Yeah, it is. And it's November 13th is the event now. It'll happen downtown at the Harvest Events Center.
Yep.
And you're going to cook those 11 down to, I think it's four.
I think they could cook down to four. And there will be a team that...
kind of a Shark Tank kind of presentation about those four projects. And then a decision will be made to award.
Right.
Potentially, hopefully.
Like I said, it's been really busy in the business development and communications department with Ellen and Carrie working on. Last week we had Business Startup 101 at also the Harvest Events and Center.
The workshops.
77 people attend. So absolutely has grown every year. People get a kick out of it.
A lot of energy happening in this particular
business
area.
Business pitch coming up.
Yeah.
And those are all good things.
And along with that, and we've talked about this, is the RFPs that the city has put out for West Main Properties and the Huntington Bookstore ideas for... new developments with those properties.
We've got and we'll probably talk about this next time, but we have an October 19th at 3 p.m. deadline that if you have a proposal you want to make on the former Thrifty White Drug or the Central Market Building or any combination of, I think there are seven different lots in there, some vacant. If you have a proposal to make, get them in. And also,
when is the deadline for them?
October 19th at 3 o'clock.
Okay.
And we also have the city owns the Huntington Bookstore that was purchased when the remediation project began. And so that building is also up for request for proposals. So we've had good interest. But like I said, a lot of inquiries on all of those properties. So we're looking forward to the 19th.
Yeah, it'll be exciting to hear what comes forward. Mm-hmm. And with that, as well as the business pitch challenge, it'll be fun to hear about that. We got to close up because we've got the signal. We're out of time. But one thing you sent to me this morning is that you're already looking for appointments, fill some vacancies on the city.
It is that time of year.
When
we start, we ask for, we go through all of our committees. We look and see whose terms are up, and then we put a list together and shoot that out at one time so that folks, if you're interested in serving on the Airport Authority, Architecture Review Commission, Cemetery Advisory Committee, Code Enforcement Appeals Board, Community Beautification, Growth Fund Committee, Parking Authority, Planning and Zoning, Renaissance Zone, and Special Assessment Commission, along with the Weed Board. I think there are 11 different committees that are looking for volunteers. And like I said, the city has a hard time functioning without all of these committees because they provide great advice, great assistance to not only staff, but also our city commissioners. And like I said, it's very important stuff that is done in these committees. If you're interested in any of them,
volunteering for this,
look on our website. It's a pretty simple process. Shoot me an email saying I am interested in serving on the Renaissance Zone Committee. We've got the terms and the requirements.
And they're all a little
there.
Different. So check the list. And what's your website, Jim, please?
Cityofmandan.com.
Sounds good. Thanks for being here, Jim. We'll
see
you next time.
Us. All right.
All right. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of City Current.
For more information on what was discussed in this episode of City Current, visit cityofmandan.com or call 701-667-3215. If you have any suggestions, comments, or issues you'd like addressed in future City Current episodes, contact us at info@freetv.org. This program airs on Government Access Channel 2 and 602 in HD, or on KDAC 102.5 FM radio. It's also available as a podcast on kdacfm.org and as a video viewing link at freetv.org. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of City Current.